two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Hope you're having a fantastic Friday. It's a football Friday. It's a basketball Friday. It's a big Friday for BYU sports, and we're breaking it all down here on the Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. Before we get into the show, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Leave a rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. So here's what we got on tap for today's show. BYU football taking on the Idaho State Bengals. Senior Day, 19 seniors going to be honored, and they're going to receive their senior blankets tomorrow afternoon at Lovell Edwards Stadium. I'm going to share my thoughts on all 19 of the seniors and go kind of one by one, my memories of those individuals and some of their best plays and the guys that will make the biggest or leave the biggest shoes to fill next year and beyond for this BYU football program. Give my score prediction for BYU versus Houston. Talk about the quarterback position some more, and then also some thoughts on BYU women's soccer as they get ready for the NCAA tournament. Again, you can follow me on Twitter, @Mitch_Harper. Follow KSL Sports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and make sure to download the KSL Sports app as well. Before we get into anything BYU football, I did want to mention, I'm assuming most of you have probably downloaded and subscribed to Disney Plus. I got to say, like most of you, first day subscriber, was ready to go. I canceled my previous ESPN Plus subscription to get the Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus bundle. And so far, I got to say, Disney Plus is a lot better than I was expecting. And it's kind of gave me a little bit of sense of nostalgia. I thought that it was primarily just going to be for my kids. I got a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And I thought to myself, you know, it's going to mainly be for them. They're going to watch Frozen a ton. They're going to watch that Forky thing a ton, that Toy Story, whatever it is. They're going to watch all those kids' movies. But I found myself creating my own little profile on the Disney Plus account for the family. And I've been watching some of these old nostalgic 90s movies. It's been great. I watched Blank Check, Rookie of the Year, and Kazam. Talk about 90s nostalgia. And I got to say, too, you know, a lot is made about when we see things in the society that we live in today, like, oh man, the world is lost. It has just went astray. What is wrong with our world today? We kind of lived in the world time growing up as well for people my age. Like, I'm 31 years old, and we lived in a weird time as well. I was watching Blank Check, and remember, Blank Check is about the kid who gets that $1 million check and cashes it and buys all this unnecessary stuff. Like, kid, you just got $1 million. Like, do you really need a $300,000 home? By the way, the house that he was getting, it started off at $150,000, and it was a big old castle.
like in 25 years, that's how much the housing market has changed. Now, $150,000 gets you what? Nothing? Can you even? Is that even like rent for a year in Utah anymore? Anyway, blank check though. It was a fun nostalgia piece going down in memory lane.
How's it work?
Well, it imitates human intelligence, like you guys.
Hey, Preston, maybe you could teach your brothers how to use it.
Not possible.
Well, don't worry, boy. Software in here will teach you how to do everything but make love to a woman.
Wait, what?
Now I know what program to get your father for Christmas.
Oops. Oh, here, let me help you.
Preston, honey, you're going to be late for Butch's birthday party.
He wants to celebrate
Butch. Butch was a jerk. He was a real
get
jerk.
Get out of your room more.
Our room. Good luck, guys.
Damien and Ralph sleep butt to face. Butt to face. Butt to face.
Who said that?
That Macintosh is
a butt to face.
Hit delete.
Butt to face.
Turn it
butt
off.
Butt to face. Butt
pull the
to
plug,
face.
Man.
Ow. Don't rub it. Be a man.
Oh, man. If being a man is taking a punch to the arm, then that little Preston kid, I'm no man. I can't handle heat. I can't handle those punches. Yeah, that blank check, like that scene right there, I was thinking to myself watching the movie, like, we had no clue as kids. I was about 6 years old when this movie came out. Had no concept of the whole making love to a woman. I thought to myself, that was in our films back then? That was the type of propaganda that was put out there?
My name is Macintosh.
I love that voice. First introduction to Mac, and then, of course, Rookie of the Year had this classic soundbite.
Oh!
Oh! Oh!
Oh!
Whoa!
Oh!
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 Oh! Oh! Funky butt loving.
Did he say funky butt loving?
Oh. Man, I love being a 90s kid. Takes me back, and those were some great times for BYU football as well. 90s were a good time for BYU. 96, 94, it was good times. The 90s were a great time to be a kid. A lot of innocence back then, too. Now it's like, you heard in that clip, kids didn't know how to run a dang computer. They're telling their 9-year-old brother, turn it off! Turn it off! Now they got them on TikTok, and they're doing all these videos that are like a bunch of 12-year-olds, and thinking, man, we have changed a lot in our society. Anyway, BYU football kicking off against Idaho State coming up on Saturday. 1 o'clock kick. Network coverage begins at 11 a.m. on KSL News Radio. And the big story, of course, is the quarterback position. As we talked about yesterday on the podcast, I'm expecting Zach Wilson to start. I think that's pretty clear from all indication from what I'm hearing. The buzz out of Provo is that Zach's going to be your guy. But the thing is that doesn't take away from Baylor Romney. I'm curious to see how much run Baylor Romney gets in this game because, you know, ideally, Zach gets the first half, they're up big, and then they can just coast and let Baylor Romney get some reps, keep his, you know, consistency, keep his high level of play in rhythm. So, you know, I think that Baylor Romney gets some run as well. This Idaho State team is terrible. Coached by Rob Fennessy, third year with the Bengals. He's out of Memphis. Interesting. Now, Idaho State, I have family up in Idaho, up in Pocatello, a lot of family, actually. And Pocatello, for those of you that have never been to Old Pokey, it's terrible. It's not good. And, hey, that's not a knock to my family that lives in Pocatello. I'm sure they've loved it because they've lived there for decades. But the thing is, there's not much to do in Old Pokey. There's just not much to do. Now, I remember all the times going up there and seeing my grandma, my great-grandma, all the great spaghetti that I would eat at old great-grandma shorts, but that was the only highlight of Pocatello. Went to Holt Arena a couple times, went once, and it wasn't much. It wasn't much. It was like AstroTurf galore, the hardest AstroTurf you'll ever find. Pocatello is not great. So I would imagine that these Idaho State players love any chance they can get to leave and go to a place that's a little bit more modern. People knock Provo, but BYU and Provo is a lot better than places like Pocatello. And I'm expecting Zach Wilson to start at quarterback, and I think he's going to perform well. I think that Zach, the work he puts in, it's top-notch. He's a relentless worker. He's been studying a ton of film. He's going to be ready to go, and I think Cougar fans are going to be very excited with what they see from Zach Wilson. I think they're also going to be excited to see all these seniors. 19 seniors going to be honored on Saturday at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And this senior class, they've got some notable guys at the top. You know, some of the top performers are going to be hard to replace. But you know what's interesting, though? I look at this roster, and I'm always usually a guy, and I'll self-admit this. I'm usually a guy that feels like, you know, the maybe some of the future guys could potentially have higher ceilings. Maybe. Now, there's some guys that are irreplaceable. Like a Tyson Williams, I'll start there. Tyson Williams, running back. Hope and pray, Cougar fans. Hope and pray that guy can get a medical hardship waiver. But I'll be honest, I don't think it's happening. I don't. I don't think it's going to happen at all. And that's a shame because torn ACL, and he's a guy that has NFL aspirations. And at best next year, he's going to be probably what? At best, a practice squad guy if he gets that opportunity. Because he's going to miss the pro day. He's going to miss the combine. He's going to miss all of that, the Senior Bowl, all of it. And it's a shame because that guy would have had, I think, 1,000 yards this season. He would have been tearing it up against the likes of USF, against the likes of Toledo, against the likes of Liberty. He would have had huge numbers. And it's a shame that he didn't get that opportunity because he is a heck of a talent. But again, BYU is going to honor him on Saturday. They're still hoping they can get him back next year. They're still going to go through the application process, but I think it's a tall task. Now, it's one thing of note, and we've been talking a lot about this on the podcast, is that Zane Anderson, he's not listed on the senior blanket ceremony because very high probability he's going to get that medical hardship waiver, and he'll be back next season as a safety for this BYU team. So Zane Train is going to be back, and very excited to see Zane back next season because he played in that Utah game. He was at the flash linebacker spot, got banged up. He was always kind of dinged up with that shoulder even during fall camp. I remember in camp sometimes it would dangle a little bit, and you thought, is he all right? But then he'd just be back the next day, and you didn't think anything of it, just kind of what football players go through. But Zane, he's been battling that shoulder, and he's going to try and get healthy and get right because he's a little bit younger compared to most seniors at BYU who maybe serve missions for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Zane didn't, so he's got an opportunity maybe next year to be in the National Football League in the 2021 draft. Tyson's going to be a big loss, though. And the thing that's unfortunate, too, with Tyson going back to him is that I don't feel like BYU and BYU fans and even Tyson saw the best of what Tyson can offer at BYU. Because even in the Utah game, he was not used enough. Tennessee game, he didn't even get 20 carries, but he won that game for BYU. The Mike Simon catch was huge, but Tyson Williams kept BYU alive. If not for Tyson, they don't win that football game. And you saw his impact against USC. Tyson was a special player, but I don't think he was utilized even in those four games that he did play. Let's go through this list, though, of the seniors that are going to be honored on Saturday. Sam Baldwin out of Rexburg, Idaho. He's going to get his senior blanket. He's been a name that I think we've heard about for a long time. I want to say about 6 years or so. Sam Baldwin's name has been in the program. Running back Emmanuel Asupka, grad transfer out of Rice, Grand Prairie, Texas. I like the story that he came to BYU, graduate program. BYU's got to live in the portal, man. I say it all the time. Skill guys got to be in the transfer portal. And Asupka, taking a chance on BYU, has it worked out to the level that maybe people wanted? No. But I think everyone kind of knew that Tyson was the top dog among the grad transfer running backs, and Emmanuel was going to be kind of that maybe guy that builds depth. And he's done just that. Dion Gunwoloku, man, he's going to be a big loss. He's going to be a huge loss. Dion is a guy that you can put him anywhere on the field. He's going to make plays for this team, and I think he's an NFL guy. You know, the thing is, too, he's probably, for being realistic about it, he's probably an undrafted free agent right now. Maybe he sneaks in the seventh round, but I think he's going to get an opportunity, and I don't think it'd be shocking if he's on a 53-man roster next year. I think he's kind of like the Kai Nakua mold where teams aren't going to like the measurables or anything like that, but he's got a great film to work with in his college career, but because of the lack of measurables, he doesn't maybe get drafted. But he's going to find a way to stick on an NFL franchise just like Kai Nakua has, how he's bounced around with the Browns, the Ravens, and the Panthers. So I expect Dion to have a career in the NFL, and he's been a player, man. The impact on special teams, cornerbacks, safety, he just makes plays, and he's got a nose for the football. And you saw it last week when he took on Antonio Gandy-Golden. It was the only stretch of the game where it felt like BYU was stopping AGG just a little bit. he was a tough guy to defend regardless, but Dion did a pretty nice job. Long snapper Mitch Harris. You know, there's nothing really to write home about with Mitch Harris, and that's a good thing because he's the long snapper. And the thing is with him, too, he beat out the long snapper, Matt Foley. So he supplanted Matt Foley last year. And Foley, to his credit, he was battling some injuries, I think, with the shoulder and whatnot. But Mitch Harris did a great job. There was never any mistakes with the snaps. Really good from Mitch Harris. Maybe he's got a shot at the NFL because of that long snapping. Maybe. Aleva Hifo. Quick career. Man, it's not often you see guys come in and just play four straight years at BYU. Some of these names we'll go through on the senior list we've been hearing about for 7, 8, 9 years. But Aleva was a guy that was a quick career. It's what happens. So, you know, sometimes when you get the guy that doesn't serve the mission and he doesn't redshirt, 4 quick years, Aleva Hifo was making an impact from year one. And I think he's playing his best football now to date. And I thought it was interesting earlier in the week that Jeff Grimes said, you know, Aleva hasn't been fully healthy at all this season. Like Zane Anderson, who I mentioned earlier, Aleva's been battling shoulder issues as well. And Aleva's a speedster. Does he translate to the NFL? I don't know. I don't know where if he's a guy that goes to the league or not. Because I don't know if his speed is elite, like a Jonah Trinneman. Like, Jonah Trinneman bounced around the NFL because he was, what, a 4.29 40? It was insane. I remember watching Jonah Trinneman's 40, and it was just like, wow, that is off the charts good in terms of the speed. Aleva's not like that, and I almost feel like he needs to have a sub-4.4 or maybe a low 4.4 40 to catch the eye of NFL scouts. We'll see, though. Bo Hodge, quarterback, running back. Now, people were surprised to see his name on the list. Now, Hodge, he's still in school. He's retired from football. He's not going to come back next year, anything like that. He's done with the game of football. But Bo Hodge, it just didn't work out for him. Ever since his dad, Merrill, went on BYU Sports Nation, it just kind of ruined it for him. It really did. I mean, the elephant in the room when it comes to Bo Hodge, that really kind of derailed his career completely. And I always thought, too, though, that I feel like Bo should have stayed at quarterback. Because I got to say, back in 2018, in the spring of 2018, when Zach Wilson was really starting to climb as a true freshman, Tanner Mangum was out. He didn't go through any team portion. But Bo Hodge was, to me, the second-best quarterback behind Zach Wilson. Now, also keep in mind, Jaren Hall wasn't there either. But Bo Hodge gave flashes of brilliance at times, moments. Maybe not brilliance, but moments that were like, okay, that's some pretty good play. Like the 2017 season against Utah State, the only offensive drives that got you excited at all about the offense was courtesy of Bo Hodge. And the running back experiment, that just didn't work. He wasn't a running back. I thought that was a weird move to begin with, but he's going to get honored and receive his senior blanket. Wide receiver Bachelor Johnson IV, he's had kind of an interesting career. He's only appeared in, I think, one or two games for BYU, but started out at BYU, then he transferred to Utah. Now he's a grad transfer back to BYU, and he joined the team about the USC or Washington week of this season. If you look on his jersey, the nameplate on his jersey, it's got like a different font than everyone else, but Bachelor Johnson, I hear he's kind of like the resident musical artist on the team, Bachelor Johnson is. Linebacker Austin Kafensis. Man, Kafensis, too. He's a guy I remember coming out of high school at Jordan High, put up insane numbers. Everyone knows about the numbers he had at Jordan High. He was all-timer in the state of Utah. But Kafensis, I always felt like he should have went to BYU out of high school. Now, I don't know if he was all in on Broncos staff and whatnot. And he was really close to Gary Anderson, and that was one of the big reasons why he went to Wisconsin. But I love how the story ended out for Austin Kafensis, because he kind of just put everything to the side, said, you know what, I don't care about the quarterback position, I just want to play football. And he's done that in safety, linebacker, running back, scrum play, quarterback, wherever BYU needs him, the guy's making plays. And lately he's been starting at linebacker in the replace of an injured Chaz Aiyu. And I don't think Chaz Aiyu, by the way, is going to be playing tomorrow either. So keep that in mind. Moving forward, tight end Moroni Lolopututau. Moroni, he's one of those guys that I mentioned earlier who was recruited back in the day when Lance Reynolds was an assistant coach. Keep that in mind. Lance Reynolds was recruiting Moroni Laluputautau. That's how long it's been for Moroni. He was part of the 2012 recruiting class, so he's kind of seen it all. He's seen a lot in his time at BYU, and Moroni just the health has always been an issue. I like, though, that he's going to give it a shot at the NFL. He said that earlier in the week. But, man, it's going to be tough. Hopefully he tests well, and hopefully he finishes out his career strong the next couple weeks. It was great to see him get that touchdown grab against Liberty when you consider all the injuries that he's had to go through. Austin Lee, this guy's a stud. East-West Shrine Game invite, that was announced yesterday. He's going to be in the NFL, I think. Might be a practice squad guy for the first couple years or so, but I think he's going to hover around and he's going to get a chance to be in the league. People were sleeping on Austin Lee for far too long, but I think they've seen how talented of a football player he has been this year for BYU. J.J. Nwigwe, he might be the favorite among the media for interview. He's kind of opened up. He's blossomed into a great interview. Used to be just the most quiet, shy guy around. Now he's kind of blossomed into this confident, tall, athletic guy that's just a great interview and a great guy too, and he might be playing his best football of his career as well. Went from offensive tackle to tight end, and then where he was just basically a blocking tight end, and now to the defensive line. Trajan Peely, 3-year starter, played a lot, but fallen out of favor a little bit as of late, where he's not injured, yet he's not in the three deep at all. Defensive back Sawyer Powell, you can hear that interview I had with Sawyer Powell on the podcast feed, so go check that out. Sawyer, man, long time. He's been part of BYU football since the 2012 season. Been a long time for Sawyer. A lot of injuries. He had a lot of setbacks. Got the medical waiver to come back for a seventh year. You know, guys like Kalani Sitake love Sawyer Powell because of just their passion for the game of football. And a tip of the cap to Sawyer for grinding it out and finishing out his BYU career. Addison Pulsifer, offensive lineman, kind of a nondescript career. Older brother Adam had a little bit more success at linebacker. Addison, offensive lineman, bounced to tight end for a little bit, then went back to the offensive line due to need earlier this year, but really hasn't had much of an impact on the field. Offensive line, Thomas Schoaf, was at one point the most seasoned offensive lineman in terms of starts in the offensive line room heading into the 2018 season. Once Jeff Grimes, Ryan Pugh, and then Eric Mateos came into the program, he never started again. And he suffered a season-ending injury back in the USF game. But Schoaf, early on in his career, his freshman year, was a freshman All-American, got that start against Michigan State, did a really nice job early on, but kind of tailed off at the end. Talon Shumway. Hey, props to Talon Shumway. Last week on the podcast, I had a one-on-one with him, and he was great. And Shumway has just made some difficult catches nonstop for this BYU team. Whenever they need a big catch, he's kind of found a way to do that. Not the most acrobatic guy. He was explosive coming out of high school, playing both basketball and football. Part of that Lone Peak three. He was the fourth wheel, if you will. But Shumway, he's not going to pursue an NFL career. He's going to go into the medical field after his days at BYU are done coming up next month. Mike Simon, wide receiver. I think he's going to give it a go in the NFL. I saw it was, I think, gosh, that guy at the Reese's Senior Bowl executive, Nagy, he tweeted out back at the Toledo game that Mike Simon was a guy that was on their radar for the Senior Bowl potentially. So I'm curious to see if he, in fact, gets that Senior Bowl invite, because Micah has been playing the best football of his career to this point, and he's been a great ambassador for BYU, I would say, as well, too. But if the NFL doesn't work out, it sounds like he's going to be a graduate assistant next year for the BYU football team. And then finally, last person, Bo Tanner. Crazy story, what, quit on the team 3 times, and now he's basically a starter in at safety or cornerback, depending on the week. But finishing off on a high note for Bo Tanner. But that's the senior class for BYU. And I will say, the toughest guys to replace are Dian, Austin Lee, and Micah Simon, and Aleva Hifo and Talon Shumway. That's probably the five toughest. And they're all either in the wide receiver room or in the secondary. But outside of that, I mean, a lot of young guys are already playing. You know, a lot of those names that I reeled off there, they're not playing right now. They're going to get opportunities come Saturday. And I think that, you know, Kalani Grimes and E, they want to play those guys a ton and send them off right, but BYU is a young football team. They're one of the youngest teams in college football in terms of freshmen that are getting starts right now. So that's where it stands with BYU senior class, and it all gets ready tomorrow. BYU and Idaho State kicking off at 1 p.m. And I think the game, BYU, I think they're going to win, I'm going to say 38-3. BYU takes down Idaho State. I'm not expecting 40 or 50 like I thought last week. I'm going to say 38-3. BYU soundly takes care of the Bengals and moves to 6-4 and gets bowl eligible on the season. Got to take a timeout, though. On the other side, I'll give you my score prediction for BYU versus Houston. This is the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSL Sports. BYU taking on the Houston Cougars tonight in the Fertitta Center down in Clutch City. BYU, the Cougars versus the Cougars, should be a good game. BYU is an underdog in this one, no doubt about it. The Cougars in blue are going to be sizable underdogs to pull off the upset. Honestly, I'm struggling to find ways that BYU wins this game. I'll be completely honest. I really just don't see a scenario where BYU wins this game. They're an 11.5-point underdog against the Houston Cougars, and I think Houston, quite honestly, I think they're going to cover this game. I think BYU falls in this one 78-66. I just don't think BYU's got enough to counter the size, the length, the athleticism at the rim from Houston. That might be a little bit of a long night. I think BYU is going to be competitive for the first 30 or so minutes, and I think Houston ultimately pulls away in the last 10 minutes. And then finally, the BYU women's soccer team, they take on the Boise State Broncos in the opening round of the NCAA tournament at Southfield. I think BYU, I think they roll. They're the number 2 seed in their region. The number 1 seed is the Stanford Cardinal. Hopefully BYU can get a chance to face the Stanford Cardinal in the Elite Eight and then get to the Final Four and force the NCAA to move that Sunday title date to a Monday. How sweet would that be with all the nonsense that the NCAA has given to BYU over the last year or so? Be nice to see the NCAA accommodate BYU. But I think the Jen Rockwood squad is going to roll tonight against Boise State. You can tweet at me, at Mitch_Harper. Share your thoughts on how you see these games playing out for football, basketball, and women's soccer. I'll talk to you tonight and Saturday for a recap of BYU Houston and also a recap of BYU Idaho State here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at KSLPodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.